This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Episode 44. I truly was going to say 43 again. And I had to stop what I was doing and look at the screen and be like, nope, 44. But this is a unique start for us.
It is.
And yeah. For many reasons. One, you are now fully set up at your house with a professional looking microphone. I will not say whether it sounds professional or not. That's for the listener to decide. And I am at my home. So we are separate. And
which you're very excited about.
I will plead the fifth. And so we are separate and we are not doing an episode right now because we are doing an intro to a series of episodes that we've released. Do you want to share with the class what those are going to be about?
Yeah. Well, I think there's only three, maybe four things that people need to know. The first is that we're going to do a series of episodes with two guests, and they're going to be with us for all of the episodes. The second is that the story we're going to be walking through and talking about is an attempt to help paint a picture of sort of the beginning to sort of middle of implementation of what it's like to adopt hop concepts, everything from the, hey, we should try something new phase all the way through the, we are physically doing something different than we were before. The third that's probably important is that in this first episode, we attempted to introduce our guests, I think three, maybe four times before we actually got to the version that you see because we were having technical difficulties.
Well, first of all, they wouldn't see it. Second, they would hear it. and it included switching platforms at one point from Zoom to Teams. It took us a little bit to get it right. And hopefully we got it as right as we could.
Yeah. So our amusement at the beginning is from that. Which is why I
shut you down in the intro. I don't want to get feedback like, wow, Matt was really mean to Andy when they started. I was just trying to get to our guests to see if we could hear them. That's it. Also, I am probably equally as mean most of the time anyway.
Right. Also two things can be true.
Yep.
And then the fourth part is that, at least in this first episode, part of it's pretty emotional, which is a little bit different than normally kind of the feeling of what we record. So we just want to let people know that, yeah, part of the story is pretty emotional and moving.
Yeah, for sure. I'm proud of you for making it 44 episodes before crying on the podcast. It was impressive. There were times we were very close, but we got there and it really is a great story from Eric and Ron, who you're going to meet shortly here. And we're excited. So no further ado, it's going to be, we think, somewhere between 4 and 6 total episodes with this crew. So we're excited. As always, give us feedback, but let's get into it. Let's get started. I'm just going to jump into it. We're going to get right into it. Andy, don't say a word. Andy, stop. Don't say a word.
Sorry.
We have guests, and we're very excited about it. And all I want, and we definitely, this is the first time we're trying it, is to have them introduce themselves.
We haven't tried this three times before.
Several recordings of it failing. But, Eric, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good morning, Matt.
Oh, I heard it perfectly. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Great to be on with you. So let me introduce myself for your listeners. My name is Eric Bartsch. I am a 25-year veteran of the energy business, working for Shell for over 20 years, and then becoming the CEO for a major oil and gas producer in California called Aera Energy. We recently transacted on that business, and so I'm doing some investing and working on some other things since July. Great to be with you guys.
We're very happy to have you and to be able to hear you, which turned out to be more of an issue for us than we thought, but we're happy. And then we also have Ron. Ron, introduce yourself, please.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Eric. My name is Ron Nunley. I'm an environmental health and safety professional. I've worked in industry for about 30 years, and I'm excited to be here. I would not consider myself to be a hop expert, but certainly a hop believer and practitioner at this point, and I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Excited to have both of you, actually. This is fun for us. And
we haven't done this, Matt. Yeah. So this is, I think we probably have to start off with at least, I don't know, explaining why we are having guests at all. Or yeah. Like where the...
How dare us? Where, we should... What do we think we are having guests? But yeah, I think this is a big change for us, but we really do feel like it's worth the change. We think we have a great story to tell.
Yeah. So I'll start from my perspective and then maybe Eric, you can fill in some of the blanks. So how I remember the beginning of this decision to tell this story was an email from you, and it was sort of in true CEO fashion, not a lot of information in the email, just like, hey, do you have time to talk? In which I got giddy and nervous all at the same time of, you know, what could Eric want to say? And we had worked with you before, and I'd been able to meet you, and I knew your personality type, and I respect the heck out of you. And so we set up a call, and you told me that, if I remember correctly, that you were looking for a place to tell this story. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly? And do you want to fill in some of the blanks of what this story is?
That's right, Andy. I feel really passionate about industrial safety. I feel really passionate about what we do in the energy industry and the difference it makes. I also feel really connected to the frustration that I felt as a senior executive at Shell and then at ERA with how to make a difference on safety. And the journey that we've been on for the past 6 years, I would say that I've been on the journey anyway, I've really come to understand that there is a breakthrough that's possible for a lot of leaders and a lot of companies that are wondering how they can make a significant difference on safety. And so absolutely, we've gone down this path at ERA, had some real success, some tangible success, which I know we'll speak about. And I simply want to share that story with other people like me so that they feel curious, inspired to learn more.
Yeah. Which is inspiring to me, and one of the reasons why this felt so important to be able to tell the story, and we're going to do it in a couple different ways, one of which being this podcast, was because there are a lot of people like you in your position that they don't have another peer to talk to about this space, and they do feel a sense of frustration and helplessness in terms of what it means to try to manage the safety and the well-being of their employees. And to be able to talk to how you were able to get sort of through that feeling to a place where it feels as though you can get some traction seems incredibly important for people to be able to hear.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Matt. I'm really happy to be here with Ron and tell the story.
It's awesome. Yeah. I had a CEO who I actually really enjoyed working with many, many years ago. And it felt like the only thing they could do was tell us that we needed to do more and do it better. There wasn't this like not a willingness to change. It was almost like, well, what else can we do? We just got to do what we said we're going to do and do it better. And the idea that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about change and what changed and how it changed and how we got there, I'm really excited to hear. But that doesn't explain why Ron's here. Ron, I'm sure we could, yeah. You and I could sit here and watch Andy and Eric talk for hours, but we have microphones and we're forced to speak under some agreement. So, Ron.
And we would enjoy that.
Yeah, we would.
Enjoy that, Matt.
I do it professionally.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't, but no, I'm excited also to be here because I worked as an EHS manager at ERA Energy within Eric's organization. And as part of that process, you know, I learned a lot about human and organizational performance, and I personally found it to be a bit of a journey, sometimes a frustrating one, but one that I felt was transformative for me and many of my colleagues in the professional family that I am within. And I think sharing that story is something that I owe back to the profession, because I think if you're someone who's interested in SIF prevention, someone who's interested in creating reliability in your EHS systems, that understanding deeply and embracing the five principles is critically important. And I hope to help share that message beyond, you know, my immediate circle.
That's great. Thanks, Ron. Yeah, we get to hear EHS manager and CEO talk about what it was like. I'm excited. So where do we start, Andy? Where do you want to start?
Oh, I guess, so I came into the picture of your HOP journey after it had been started for a while. And so I was hoping that you'd be able to teach us kind of the origin stories of what was the case for wanting to do something differently, and where did you hear about the concepts of HOP in terms of why that might feel like an answer to doing something differently? In any way that it makes sense to tell that story, feel free to start wherever it makes sense to you.
Yeah, so I think Ron probably had a different experience than I did, but I'll start. So like I said, I've been in the oil and gas business for 25 years. And I've been leading teams, organizations, field operations since roughly 2008, right? And I can tell you when I first started leading businesses in the field, I looked at the same key performance indicators, KPIs that everybody else does, total recordable case frequency, OSHA metrics, as a barometer of, are we safe? Are we making progress? Are we doing enough? And I can tell you at the time that the business I was running, which was in the onshore US, had a good recordable case frequency relative to other peers that I could see publicly, relative to other assets internally. And so I was, let's say, comfortable that we were on a good path there, and lots of things to concern the business with. Everything changed the day that I got a phone call when I was sitting in Houston, and I'm sure many people have had this experience, unfortunately, but I got a phone call that there had been a serious incident out in the field. And a few hours later, a few days later, I got the picture of what happened. And I would say that really was a pivot point for me as a leader, because what happened there was a man's life was taken. That man was working in the field, and through a number of events, confusion, other things that happened, he was crushed. And what changed me was really reflecting on how could this happen? I was leading a business with metrics that are called key performance indicators for a reason. They're the key ones. And I felt that we were on the right track. Mm. Our supplier partners that we were working with felt we were on the right track. And so I really started thinking to myself, why did this happen? What can I do differently? Because, and anybody that's been in this position knows, when an incident happens that changes somebody's life, who's part of the fabric of a field location, it impacts everybody. Most, of course, is the individual and their families, and also the work family that they work with every day. It rocks everybody. Mm-hmm. And when I visited and talked to people, that really hit home to me how I needed to think and really convince myself that I was doing everything I could in my position and with supplier partners to make the system that exists every day in the field as safe as it can be so that there aren't life-changing injuries. And so I just want to pause there and say that that moment, that day, thinking about that individual has never left me. Especially this time of year, it's almost Thanksgiving and holidays. I think about that person a lot and the fact that their family today still doesn't have that father, that husband, that brother, that son there. Now, I should say here that my role as a business leader is specific when it comes to safety. It goes to culture. It goes to the systems, the incentives, the performance, the engagement with suppliers who many times own the safety performance of their people when it's on site. So it's not a straightforward fix. It's something that requires and has required of me a lot of thought about what to do different and how I can make a difference from my role in the C-suite now so that I can make a difference for people in the field wherever they are.
I know that we're only doing voice recording so people can't see, but I have real tears in my eyes. That feeling that you describe of responsibility and feeling as though things are going well and then learning that they're not, or at least that the how controlled things are is different from what you were picturing, is a painful and familiar feeling for me. And then obviously, when it's tied to real people that you picture and you knew and it's helpful to be able to turn that raw pain and emotion that exists anytime that there's a loss into something that feels like it can be productive. And so, yeah, thanks for sharing where the desire to do something different came from.
And I would say that that moment of reflection was compounded years later when I took the role of the senior executive for safety in one of the divisions of a major company I was working for. And in that role, I had an opportunity to go visit sites around the world and see the kinds of people that commit themselves to work in our industry. It's inspiring. The effort, the focus that they put to do what they do in an excellent way. And I felt like I had a responsibility. I have a responsibility as an executive to know what my part of that is. And the good news part of the story that I hope we tell today in other versions of this podcast is that there is a place to put that ownership, that anxiety, that commitment that I think can make a real difference. And I want to contrast that with the beliefs that I had, and I think many others have, coming up in our industry that have been pervasive for decades. And I think ultimately are counterproductive if your goal is to help people avoid life-changing incidents and injuries.
All right. So we'll try to look at this from a couple different perspectives, as you mentioned, Eric, right? So mentioning not only kind of places that we can put that feeling of ownership and that responsibility and how that fits into the role of somebody in the C-suite, and then also helping people see some of the assumptions that we've made along the way that perhaps now from the position you have, from the perspective that you have, feel as though you wish that those assumptions had been something that had been dismantled before, that somebody had shown the light on this before events that were part of your journey happened. Ron, the start of your journey in this hop space. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I think my story is a bit different, but it is related because Eric has played such an important part in my journey. Although I had some very superficial exposure to human and organizational performance prior to working with Eric, I think I had sort of concluded that the five principles are things that I already subscribe to, that I already do, that I already know, mostly, not completely, but mostly. And that maybe there wasn't much to learn here, that maybe I wasn't really sure how to operationalize, really. And, kind of had closed the book, on this subject in my own mind as an EHS professional. And then when Eric arrived into our organization and clearly believed in the five principles, that created a little bit more interest in my mind.
Ron said, maybe the door should be reopened.
Oh, wait a minute. I actually revisit these a little bit.
I bought a couple books, right, real quick. I needed to brush up on the language and try to understand where he was coming from. I know Eric sensed this, and to some extent I've told him this, but I really was a bit resistant in the beginning, I felt like, maybe I could just speak differently about what we're already doing to improve the system, and then that would find a way to meld the two cultures, the company that I work for and Eric as a CEO. That might be the bridge that could be built. But what happened as a result of a deeper exposure to HOP, a few events that really had the potential to change people's life, some interactions with you, Andy, and with Eric in event learning scenarios where I experienced a deeper curiosity around how systems have an influence over how people act and the decisions that they make. I came to reflect upon my own leadership in this space and began to understand that what I've been doing for the last 30 years needs improvement. And this subtle change in view of safety, this term safety differently or safety to, like, it's a real thing. And today, when I interact with my customers, they often, those that knew me beforehand often ask me what the heck happened, and we like this new version, right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I mean, I think to just answer the question, I think, having a new CEO that was interested opened a door. I jumped through it. I think experiencing a few serious events where we really had the potential to hurt someone seriously had an impact. Hearing, being exposed to people like you, Andy, and others like that, I really think differently about how I've managed safety over the last 30 years and wish I would have been exposed to it much earlier on in my career. I think I could have prevented many more serious injuries along the way had that been the case.
That's really powerful, Ron.
It's a feeling that is maybe the reason why even I personally teach this over and over and over and over again, is that feeling that you're both describing of, I wish I had known how to do this even earlier. And for me, it was only a few years of being in the industry before I was exposed to Hop Concepts. And even in those few years, like 2-3 years, I could picture how many different opportunities that I didn't even know were there to look at, to understand, to learn from, to design differently. It was in front of me and yet so far away, so hidden from my ability to understand anything, that I reflect on those, especially when you see the results of a brittle system in your face, like when you walk into a room and you see somebody seriously injured. That's enough to change. That's enough to change quite a bit about how you see the world. So I think what we'd love to be able to understand next, and I think Matt, it would be on our next episode in this space, would be kind of where you first heard about these hop concepts. And then Ron, you taught us a little bit about your first impression. And Eric, I'm really curious, your first impression, if you heard it once and you're like, okay, this is the direction we need to go, or it was a bunch of different times, a bunch of different types of exposure that made it kind of feel as though that's the direction you wanted to try to make change in. I think that would be helpful for people to understand first impressions of this type of information and places that they can get exposure, that people get access to this type of information.
I'm excited to hear about where it trickled over in these next couple episodes. We have a safety manager and a CEO, but it extends outside of safety. I'm excited to hear the stories of where you realized it might have been extending past those boundaries and into everything else we do, because I know from my background in the software world, even this week, I'll look at Andy and be like, I wish I knew this earlier. I would have done this differently in a non-safety at all, just like a business interaction. I would have done this differently. And I'm excited to hear about how you all were exposed and brought it in. I always think about in elementary school, we made candles. It's going to be a weird analogy, but stay with me for a second.
I'm ready. I'm so excited to see where this goes.
They gave us, each kid got a wick, a foot-long wick, and you made a circle, and you dipped the wick in the wax, and then you walked around the circle, and then you dipped, and then it just slowly build a candle over time, and you kind of have to keep dipping it, taking a break, and dipping it again to build. And that's how I experienced Hop myself. It was not an overnight switch for me. It took constant exposure and time to get there.
That was a really good analogy, Matt. I want to be like,
well, this is a great time to end the first episode then. So we are going to have Eric and Ron back on a couple times, if not more, and we're excited to see where the story goes.
Well, that's it.
Yep, another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.